Okay, turn in your Bibles with me. We want to talk about patience tonight. Anybody said this? Hurry up. We got to go somewhere. Hurry up, get that message done real quick. And, you know, we got to meet somewhere tonight for a coffee and go for supper somewhere. We got to start going up back to the chicken house. We haven't done that for a long, long time, like even maybe several years. So, yeah, I guess everybody got too big and decided they'd stop that, and I have a little bit of room in my shirt tonight, maybe one or two more legs or something like that. Thank you, Lord. You know, patience is what we need. Let's read some scriptures and let's find out where we're going to go, because I believe that God wants to take you somewhere. How many people know that God wants you to be at a certain place at a certain time? And he has plans for you. And ever since you were born, like Psalm 139 declares that even when you were in your mother's belly being formed up in there, and God already knew what he had in store for you. Right? You know, and so you better get ready, because you don't want to miss the boat. You don't want to miss the wrong road, get on the wrong trail and end up in the bush somewhere and freeze. And you don't want to do that. I want to talk about patience or impatience tonight. And talk about every one of us is called to walk by faith, as the Bible declares. You know, 2 Corinthians, 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? We walk by faith, not by sight. Well, the word faith is synonymous with the scripture, or what we say, we use the word scripture, we say the word. Everybody say the word. So when the scripture says, when the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, that means we walk by the word of God. We walk by the scriptures. The scriptures are given to us so that we can have a map, so to speak, so that we can have information to where we're supposed to, what we're supposed to do. You can say it this way and not really change the scripture. We walk by the word of God, the word faith in the scriptures. You know, the only way you can get faith is through the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, the Bible says, hearing by the word of God. That's found in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. And the Bible says in the scriptures in the Old Testament, or at least in the Gospels, that many people came to hear Jesus and to be healed. Hearing came first, and then the healing came second. And so we see here the word that says, we have that up there again, you know, it says 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, or we walk by the word of God, or we walk by scriptures, or the principles contained in the word of God. So if you're making a decision on anything tonight, you got to make sure that your decision is based on scripture. Everybody say, my decisions are based on scripture. If they're based on scripture, then you're not going to make hasty decisions based on your emotions. Come on now. And so here it says we walk by faith, not by sight. The word sight is synonymous with circumstances of life. It means feelings, your feelings, your thoughts. Your thoughts are not, you know, necessarily scriptural. Your feelings are not necessarily scriptural, even if you feel good about something. Because you could be deceived by how you feel. You could be deceived by what you see. You might see something, but you don't know the whole full story, so that your eyes could deceive you. So the scriptures, the Bible, is the instrument of how we operate in this world. God's given us his scriptures, his words, so that we can make right choices, proper choices. And so that, you know, whenever we make decisions, we have to ask ourselves, is that scriptural? Is that in the Bible? You don't ask yourself how you feel about something. You ask yourself, first of all, what the Bible says. And then you can tell yourself how you feel about it. If you say, well, I feel lousy about it, then you say, it doesn't matter. I'm going to follow the word. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Can you say one more amen? Amen? Can you give me a hearty amen? Amen. Say, that's right, Pastor. Point at me. Say, that's right, Pastor. See, some of you guys are not cooperating. Amen. Say point at yourself. Say, I. Say, me.
Me.
I obey the word of God. Say, in church.
In church.
Say, I obey the pastor. If he's in the, it's in the spirit. Okay. So he said, you know, if you're in the spirit, people think, you know, like you look crazy. Ooh, I'm in the spirit, you know. That's not what it means in the spirit. In the spirit means you're walking by your heart. Yeah. When you're in the spirit, it means you're going to walk by, regardless of how you feel, because you're walking by your belief system based on the scripture. Amen? No one's going to ask you how you feel about things. God's not going to ask you how you feel about obeying him. He's going to ask you, how do you feel about going to church tonight? You say, no, I'm going to church because it's a principle. Well, some of you Bible school students come because we asked you to come. We voluntarily ask you, and so you come. But you'd be here anyway most of the time, anyway, because you're those kinds of people. Hallelujah. You know, today I was inquiring about a couple of things. One is that we're going to start ordaining our own, licensing our own ministry. Anybody that goes to our Bible school, we license them ourselves. And then, you know, ordain you so that you can bury somebody, you can marry somebody. Amen. You can practice at home and marry a couple of dogs together or something, you know. And give me a paw, you know, so on, you know. Be great, you know, just practice. Amen. Praise God. You know, God has a plan. Amen. And so we want to be patient and not run ahead and plan. Because if he's got a plan, you want to stay in line with God and not run ahead of God and make a lot of mess and buy a car. Maybe you bought a car too late, and maybe God wants to send you somewhere else. Spend your money on something else. Maybe some man will come by and buy your car. A little real quiet around here. Maybe some woman will buy your car. Okay. I'm stuck right now. Let's go try James. Let's go try to take off on James, because this, you know, it's been a kind of strange service because everybody started dancing all at one time. But it's good that we didn't have to take turns to watch each other. And who's the best dancer tonight? I bet Pastor Dave would be the best dancer. Is he here? He's ushering. Okay, he's. What is he doing on the floor over there? All right. Everybody looks. Okay, we're going to talk about the power of patience, if we ever get there. It's almost closing time. So did you find James 1 and 2? Okay, James 1, 2, and 3. My brethren, and that means sister and two. My brethren, so how many brethren we got? Well, today they say it's unisex. I mean, or just one thing. So you all can be brother tonight. Because the Bible says so. Okay, how many brethren we got? One guy. One guy, and he just woke up too. There's something funny about tonight. And we don't know what it is. I think it's the Holy Ghost. Tickling you on the inside. See, I told you. You feel that? See? 80 years old, sitting in the front row laughing. That's pretty good, eh? Childlike and everything else. Anyway, we'll get started. We're going to get started. Somebody said, I thought this guy is a teacher. Doesn't he teach at the college too? Okay, Lord, help me. Okay. Thank you, Lord. James chapter 1. We'll start over here. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. My brethren. My brethren. Count it all joy. And that's what you're doing. Yeah, you count it all joy. Listen to this. When you fall into diverse temptations. Now, the word fall doesn't mean you tripped and fall on the ground. It means when you encounter or when you come up against. So he says, count it all joy when you come up against diverse, that's a multiple kind of whatever, temptations. The word temptations means the pressures, and I believe that Greek word means is parosmos, which means pressures of life. The pressures of life. Anybody had pressure? Huh? We all had pressures. Financial pressure. Somebody can lift their hand and say, yes, I've had them. Hey, well, you don't have to. I would learn about all your pressures tonight. Pressure points. It could be money problems, right? Relationship issues, could be shoes. I don't know what kind of pressure you might have. It could be anything. So the Bible says when you come up again, multiple, various kinds of pressures, or at least you'll come up to multiple pressures in life, temptations. The word also means temptations, tests, and trials. The word temptations means testations. Anything that's a pressure in your life. Right? I just made a new word. Google it, testations. Notice something here. It says knowing this. Everybody say knowing this. I want you to see, notice something, because the word, it says knowing this. See, if you don't know what your faith will do in a trial, then you can't really count it joy. Praise God. All right. I'll go on this side. The Bible said, look at it. It says, knowing this, knowing what? Knowing that the test is the testations. Knowing that the trying of your faith, in other words, your faith is going to be tested. Your belief system is going to be tested. You're going to have pressure on your faith to crumble under the weight of whatever pressure the devil is going to put on you. And what he wants to do is put so much pressure on you so that you'll quit, you'll alleviate the pressure by quitting and throwing in the towel, so to speak. So that you won't continue on the plan that God has for you. Because everybody in this room, in the kingdom of God, everybody in the whole world actually, that God had a plan for them. And so the devil's going to come by and he's going to put pressure on you to stop you or to slow you down. And some of us have taken, an exit on the freeway and gotten to a place where you shouldn't have been in life and had all kinds of experiences in life that God never preordained. But the devil was waiting at the exit to take you along for a long ride. And he wants to annihilate you. He wants to destroy you because other people's lives matter, because God has you as an instrument to help him, help those find the way in this life. Everybody say, my life matters. Everybody say, my life matters. Say, I matter to God. Say, I matter to somebody. Say, somebody matters to me. Say, this church matters to me. See, you don't understand this. Like, you're not an island on yourself. You don't, when you're making decisions, you make a bad decision, and you say, I'm going to quit this and not do this anymore, you're affecting other people. If you don't show up for something, if you don't do this or do that, or don't give God, money to help him in his gospel, that affects the kingdom of God. That affects your children. Your faith affects your children. How you live and how you behave affects a generation of people. I said, the scripture tells us that God says, if you will obey me, if you'll obey me, I will bring your children into, to a place where perhaps they wouldn't have gone to, because you have gone there ahead of them. Even when they're disobedient, God will bring them in when they're disobedient. How many people know that you've been disobedient and God still had mercy on you? Amen? He still had mercy on you because somebody went ahead of you. And somebody paid the price. Maybe somebody prayed for you. When I was just a little boy. When I first got born again, I went to a hockey tournament in Kenora. It was a Christian hockey tournament. It was the biggest fights I've ever seen. They said, those Christian guys really fight, man. And so, I was at this hockey game, and I began to talk to one of the guys who I joined the team, and in a Christian tournament in Thunder Bay, and some of the people from Kenora up and over in Fort Francis. And I met a man, an older man, who was helping the team, the hockey team, with the coaching that staff that day. And so he began to talk to me. He started talking to me. He said, what is your name, young man? He says to me. I said, my name is Roma. Roma who? Roma Fisher. He said, I used to know a young boy named Roma when he was just a young boy. I said, where was this? He said, well, back over there in Long Lac and stuff. I was a probation officer. And he said, I prayed for that boy. And I was his probation officer. And I remember that. I said, I'm the guy. That story is in my book back there. That's, by the way, that's an advertisement. Paid for by myself. Anyway, the man prayed for me because somebody is praying for you. Somebody's believing God that you're going to make it. There's other people believing that you're not going to make it. They're looking for you to fail. But God says, you're not going to fail. I said, no matter how many times you missed it, God's there, going to be there for you. Amen? He's going to be there for you. He'll love you right to the end. Glory to God. Amen. Can you say amen tonight?
Amen.
Okay. So we'll go back to that scripture again. Count it all joy. Joy, you have to count it as joy. Consider it joy. When you come against tough times, you must consider it as a joyful time, because you know something, that this trial is not going to get you down. This trial is not going to stop you. No matter what trial you're going through, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to overcome this thing. You're going to bypass it. You're going to go far beyond it. And you're going to look back. You're going to think about, I don't know how I could have thought I could have died in that thing, because God's hand was on me. I was listening to Joyce Meyer. Anybody know who Joyce Meyer is? Well, she's one of my aunts in the ministry. Amen. And she said, I was molested when I was a little girl. I was molested by my dad until I was like 16 or 17 years old, physically molested, sexually molested by my father. And I don't know how that could ever happen, but that happened to her. But she said it messed your life up. How many people would think that would mess you up pretty good? It's quiet in here. It's a very somber thing. But let me tell you something. There's a brighter side to that story. So she said, God healed me. The three Hebrew children in the book of, what is the book in Daniel? Is it Daniel? Was it the three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, and this black man says, and a bad Negro. One of my teachers would say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says, a bad Negro. And one time, we were preaching this is a black man saying this. And we had a Mexican fella. He was preaching at our training program. And he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad, what's that, Omego. Omego or something. But anyway, these three guys, the Bible says they were thrown into the furnace of fire. And the Bible said they didn't burn. That fire was so strong that those who threw those Hebrew children in there, in fact, those people burned up who threw them in there. The fire was, I think, three times as much as usual. They were in the fire. And they were, as the king looked in, or they looked in, they saw not only three, they saw four people in there and dancing. Just like we were doing tonight. That's what you're doing when you're in the fire, dancing around. And they weren't even burned. They weren't burned. And so they came out, the Bible says, they didn't even smell like smoke. There was nothing burned on them. See, that's how it is when you come to Jesus. You're going to come on the other side just like it never, ever happened. Joyce Meyer said, you look at me today, I don't have a scratch. I don't have any problems with that problem anymore that I had when I was a kid. I don't have a problem. It's like it never happened. I'm healed. I'm so healed like it never happened. You can smile, praise God. Some of you, like, you're jealous about it. That you can have that same thing too. So thank God. It can happen. You have to be patient. So some things happen in your life that, is very unfortunate. God has a good plan for you. The Bible says that, put up Jeremiah 29 there, and verse, I believe it's verse 11, isn't it? Jeremiah 29. Anybody know what Jeremiah 29 says? Let's look at it in a couple of versions. God has a plan for you. If you look over here, you'll see it coming up. Jeremiah 29, 11. It's going to come up any moment now. Okay? It should be coming up about now. There it is. King James Version. How many like King James? That's the one that Paul the Apostle used. Okay, so, for I know the thoughts I think towards you. You see, God has thoughts about you. Said the Lord, he said it. Thoughts, Jesus said, or God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit and the Father said this, thoughts of peace. If you're going through a hard time right now, come on now, there's peace ahead. You're driving down a road and it says, peace land ahead. Woo! Praise God, amen? And you have turmoil, there's peace ahead. Peace and not evil. There's not one evil thing planned in your life. No failure. No misery. No sickness. No lack of finances. No loneliness. That's all ahead of you. God has that plan for you, but there's a devil, he's trying to steal from you and stop you from getting ahead in life. He wants to squish your faith so that you're going to give up on it because you want immediate satisfaction of what the world can give you. That's called deception. Because the world will try to give you immediate pleasure right now so that you'll quit walking with God. Are you getting something? Besides the sore ears? No? Okay, so, to give you an expected end, or to give you the word expected end is the word future in other versions. Is there another version that says future? In your amplified? Well, you're way ahead of us, sister. There it is. Okay, so I like that. Monique's like that. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, will give you a future and a hope. The word hope, of course, it translated as, the King James translated that, expected end. A hope is expected end. So what do you expect in your life? You should expect good things happening in your life. Now, God has a plan in your life, and if you're impatient and you run ahead of God, you can mess up a whole lot of things. But don't be mad about it and get sad, because God can restore you anyway. Whatever he's stolen from you, the devil has stolen from you. Let's go look at the scripture over here. Let's use the Amplified Classical Edition if you can. I like classical music. Can you find Ephesians 2 and 10? Thank God. Everybody say, thank God. Say, I'm in the right place at the right time. Say, I'm going to Peace Valley. I'm going to the expected end. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. There's a church back there that Paul established in chapter 16 of the book of Acts. He met a group of people and he started this church. These were Ephesian people. They speak Ephesianese back then. Okay, so watch this. For we are God's own handiwork, God's workmanship. Just look at your neighbor right now. That's God's handiwork, God's masterpiece. Okay? Recreated in Christ. We were recreated in Christ when we got born again. Now watch this. Jesus, recreated in Christ, born anew, that's being born again, that we may do those good works which God predestined. He planned beforehand for us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, that's walking by faith, living the good life which he, it stops right there. Okay, which he prearranged and made ready for us. Right now, God has made ready a plan for you. But some of you guys got off on exit 49. And you should have been kept going. A lot of times it happened to me when I go to the cities, you know. A lot of times we get off. My wife would say, get off here, get off here. I said, okay, we get off here. And I said, yeah, why'd you tell me to go this way? And then we fight, you know, and she puts me in a headlock and so on. And the police come and handcuff her. So God has a plan. God has a plan. Did you know that God has a plan? Yes. Did you know the plan is already ready? He's already prepared it. Amen. And also the devil, God already prepared a plan about what he could do with the devil. And he's already done it. He's already tied up the devil so that you can go by. And he's tied up like this, telling you, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And you say, his hands are tied. You know, man, Brother Hagin was telling us one time, he said, you know, if a guy come rolling by, you know, he's on in a wheelchair, and he can't walk, he can't move, he can only move, you know, just as something to move his chariot, whatever, the wheelchair. And he started mouthing off to you. He said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to steal everything you got. I'm going to slap you around and take your children, blah, 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 blah. And you go, that's what the devil's like. Because Colossians chapter, I think it's chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 13, 14, 15, the Bible says in verse 15 that he spoiled principalities. That word spoiled means he says God paralyzed him for you so that, you know, if you just believe what he says, you're like that guy who's being tormented by somebody in a wheelchair. And you just came from a gym, learning karate and UFC moves and stuff like that. And now you're listening to somebody who's telling you all kinds of stuff. Now you can't do, oh, I can't do that. No, the devil said, you know, he said, I don't have any money. I can't do that. I'm not strong enough and I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I could never do that job. I can't, you know, I can't do that. And you're hearing something, the devil's telling you, you can't do something. And God all along told you, you can do something. He's, you know, what happened to, I can do all things through Christ. He's always, people say it on Facebook, you know, pray for me, that God will be with me. No, God is always with you. He's never gone anywhere. God's everywhere at the same time. He's no more or less here than anywhere else. God himself is right here, right now. Amen. He's here to encourage you, to strengthen you, to help you get to the next place. Oh, man, I'm running out of time here. That's all I can do. I'll give you one more scripture to encourage you. Can you take one more scripture? It's going to be about half an hour, this one, though. I gyp you. Back in our resume, you say, I gyp you, right? This is Long Lac 58, First Nation. We say, we gyp you, chump. Does anybody ever say that? Any other First Nations do that? Oh, they say, we're not like you guys. Okay, all right. What did the guy? Somebody told me Sterling is the last guy who speaks like a 58 guy. They said, did you know that Sterling is the only guy that speaks like, you know, he speaks like he's from 58? I said, well, we're trying to do our best to follow him. We have to erase this tape. This is not going on television. Oh, it's on Facebook already? I'm sorry. Okay, so one more scripture. Can you take one more scripture? How many people can take one more scripture? Okay, some people don't. I'm not going to. Okay, all right. We'll take one more scripture. 1 minute went by. Okay, so go to Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 12. See, we can't be impatient and get off the expressway onto exit 49 because we should keep going ahead. Long ways ahead. And you're patient as you're going on the expressway because maybe you're on the I don't know what you call those roads. You know, there's the express and there's all kinds of lanes there. Like whenever I go over here in Minneapolis, I go on that express lane. They say you can't have more than, you know. They say one guy was driving with a dummy one time. They put a dummy there. They finally charged him because he had a doll there with him traveling on that road. Well, you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, so did you find that scripture, Hebrews chapter 12? In the Amplified? Let's get it up there right now. Remarkable faith. Well, Hebrews 12:1. Sorry. I'm not clear enough. Okay. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, who is he talking about? He's talking about the heroes of faith in chapter 11. Chapter 11 talks about people with faith who actually did things for God. The Bible says they obtained promises by faith. I believe it's 11:33. It said they obtained, or 32, they obtained promises by faith. You can take your promise right now, even though you don't have your future, just say, I'm taking it right now. Everybody lift up your hand like this, say, I'm taking mine right now. I'm taking my future right now. Thank God, amen. Come on, and pull it inside. Say, I'm having it right now. That's what we got to do. I mean, you got to sometimes make yourself do things, you know, say, these guys are crazy. No, we're not crazy. Well, maybe sometimes some people are, but okay, since we're surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, and he is stripping off every unnecessary weight and sin with so easily, cleverly entangled us, let us run with endurance or patience and activate persistence the race that is set before us. See, God wants us to run the race that he has preordained, as it says in Ephesians 2:10. There's a prearranged arrangement with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit that there's a plan set out for us, which the apostles and the prophets have said. God has arranged something good for you ahead of time. And so there's a race there that you must be patient. And no matter what comes your way, you're going to have to encourage yourself in the scriptures by looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus is looking at the scriptures. See, the Bible, when it says looking unto Jesus, that means Jesus, the scripture says, is the Word of God. We have to look into the scriptures and to see where you're going. If you look at your life, you're going to fail. There's a scripture in the Numbers 21, there, verse 8 somewhere there. The Bible says that, you know, there's when the Israelites sinned, the Bible says that poisonous snakes came and bit the people. And the Bible says that, God told Moses, tell the people, don't look at those snakes. Look at that bronze serpent that I told you to put up there on the pole, which symbolized Jesus. The bronze serpent on the pole symbolized sin, that Jesus was on the cross, took our sins to the cross, and he's our Redeemer. He said, look at that, look at that. So if they looked at the snakes that was biting them, they would die. But if they didn't look at the snakes and looked at the cross or look at the bronze serpent on the pole, they would live, the Bible says. So God wants you, instead of failing and looking at your circumstances, he wants you to look to the Word of God today, right now, so that you can go ahead and move into that place where God wants you to. Do you believe that tonight? I said, do you believe that tonight? Do you believe the scripture? Let's go ahead and stand up. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there anybody else that's excited about that? If you're not, you're going to have to get yourself excited. Amen. I mean, after you go home and everybody's sleeping, you go, hey, amen. And you walk around your room like a tough guy. Some of you, dance so fast and so loud when you're alone in your home. But we need to see you dance once in a while. Amen? Hallelujah. Is there a race? There's a race that's set before you. There's a prearranged plan. There's a hope and a future for you. And the devil is going to try to do whatever he can to put pressure on you, to slow you down, or eventually stop you, so that you will not move ahead with the things of God. Everybody close your eyes and worship God right now. Lift your hands and thank him. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus tonight. We worship you. We want to tell you how much we love you tonight. We want to say, God, I'm so happy that I'm born again. I'm so happy that I'm saved. I'm so happy that you sent Holy Spirit here in my heart. Help me to flow like I used to flow in days gone by. Help me to be sensitive like I used to be. When I came to church, I would cry. I would just be so sensitive to your spirit. And now, because of the world has tainted some of my ways, I don't feel like I used to, but I'm going to get back to even more greater sensitivity in these days. I don't want to have a callous heart, Lord. So when you talk to me, I want to hear you. I want to hear you every day. Thank you. Receive me today. If I've done wrong, Lord, if I walked wrong in the last days, I ask you to forgive me in the name of Jesus. I'm coming home. I want to walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me here tonight. Thank you for letting me hear this word tonight, that you do have a plan. You've never given up. The Bible says, Romans 11:29, that God never changes his mind for whatever he called you to do, no matter how many times you fail.